It is an amazing thing that we stand in Christ and in Christ alone. Sometimes I feel like I'm standing. Sometimes I feel like I'm crawling. He says, run the race and finish it. He doesn't necessarily say on 2 feet. So we will get there, hopefully in the end. This morning is Mother's Day, so good morning and welcome and thank you to all the mothers and to all the women. We all had mothers, and I was telling this story. There was a gym that Tish and I worked out with, and there were several people that we kind of worked out together with, and this one gal was talking to me, and she said, so do you have a father? Because I was asking her about her family. And I said, well, yes, most people have a father. And she just like went to the other side of the gym. And so as that happened, a couple weeks later, we were working out in the same vicinity again. And she said, so how is your father? I said, dead. And off she goes. We ended up being friends, the whole group of us, but we all had mothers. I know that this might surprise you. Mothers are human. They make mistakes. They are born into this world the same that we all are, and the true blessing is the blessing of the birth, and so we thank all of the mothers, our mothers, as well as we honor those today who are mothers or potential mothers or women, and we thank you because regardless of whether or not you've had children, you hold a very important place in the body of Christ. And it's great to be starting the book of Luke today because of all the Gospels, the Gospel of Luke really emphasizes the importance of the role of women in the church and in the lives of the believers. And so we are grateful for that. Women have an incalculable worth in our society, in our church, and in our lives. God has uniquely gifted them for the purposes that they serve. So men, love your wives. Set a godly example by loving your mothers and your daughters. They are precious in God's sight. So we will begin this week our journey through the book of Luke. If you would, please stand for the reading of the word as we read the introduction to Luke. Just trying to get these, you know, trying to get over the COVID-19 pounds. Luke chapter 1, verse 1 through 4, inasmuch as many have undertaken to compile a narrative of the things that have been accomplished among you, just as those who from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word have delivered them to us. It seemed good to me also, having followed all things closely for some time past, to write an orderly account for you, most excellent Theophilus, that you may have certainty concerning the things that you have been taught. You may be seated. May the Lord bless the reading of His Word. One of the things that poor James, our worship leader, has pointed out to me is generally when I start my sermon and I say we're studying the book of Luke, I start somewhere else. Believe that or not, I'm going to today as well. Before we begin looking at Luke, I want to spend a little bit of time, because we call it the Gospel of Luke, looking at what the Gospel is. So if I ask you, what is the gospel? What is the definition of gospel? You would say, good news. And you would be right. But we oftentimes think of the gospel as the first four books in the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, better known as the Gospel of Matthew, the Gospel of Mark, the Gospel of Luke, and the Gospel of John. Well, a good definition for the gospel can be found in Romans 1. So it'll be on the screen, or you can turn in your Bibles to Romans chapter 1, verse 1. And it says, Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle, set apart for the gospel of God, which he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his son, who was descended from David according to the flesh and was declared to be the Son of God in power according to the Spirit of holiness by his resurrection from the dead. So the gospel is not just the first four books of the Bible, but it is the promise that God made that was handed down through the generations, culminating in the life, the death, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It is the fulfillment of the promise of the reconciliation of man to God. John Calvin said it this way, the gospel is a conversation about Christ, that he is God's son and was made Lord over all things. And second, you should not make a Moses of our... You shall not make a Moses out of Christ as if he did no more than teach and set an example as the other saints do, as if the gospel were a book of doctrine or a law. So when we look at the Gospel of Luke, it is the starting place of the Christian walk. It's not just a book of doctrine or a book of law. It is this story of God's redemptive purposes throughout the generations. So we'll begin this study with the usual questions. Who, what, when, where, why, and how? And the who, tradition tells us that Luke was from Antioch of Syria. Most likely he was a Gentile. He was not an eyewitness to the events that happened, as you saw in the introduction. He observed them. He heard the oral traditions. He read the different writings about it. He knew Paul, and we'll talk about that more. Paul calls him the beloved physician. So that's how we know that he was a physician. That's in Colossians. And from the language he uses, he was obviously very well educated. And really, the thing that said the most about Luke to me is found in 2 Timothy chapter 4. So starting in verse 6, Paul says this, for I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure has come. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all who have loved his appearing. Do your best to come to me soon, for Demas, in love with this present world, has deserted me and gone to Thessalonica. Crescens has gone to Galatia, Titus to Dalmatia. Luke alone is with me. Get Mark and bring him with you, for he is very useful to me in the ministry. Tychus I have sent to Ephesus. When you come, bring the cloak that I left with Carpus at Troas, and also the books, and above all, the parchments. Paul is about to be martyred by Nero. He is in a prison cell, which was actually a hollowed-out cistern. It is cold, it is dark, and it is wet. it's just a nasty place to be. And as Paul is nearing the end of his life, and he says, he knows it, I'm about to be poured out, but I've kept the faith, I've run the race, I've done what I was called to do, and all of these people have gone, Luke alone is with me. An amazing thing it says about who Luke is and his love both for Paul and for the gospel. So the question is, after who is what? Verse 3 tells us that he is writing an orderly account for Theophilus. Luke is both a physician and a historian. His historical account of the life of Christ and the beginning of the church is probably the most scrutinized history book in the history of man. He is writing an orderly account, and he is writing it for Theophilus. We don't know who Theophilus is, other than his name listing here. It's only mentioned in one other place, and that's the book of Acts. And who wrote the book of Acts? Luke wrote the book of Acts. Theophilus literally means friend of or one who loves God. Some have argued that it was written not for an individual, but rather it was written for all of the friends of or all the people who loved God. But Luke uses this term, most excellent Theophilus, which you wouldn't use that in the broader sense. You would only use that if you were speaking to an individual. Again, except for Acts, Theophilus is not mentioned. We don't know exactly that he was a believer. But what was common in the early church is that there would be, and you've all heard this term, especially if you have a Catholic background, catechism, this teaching, as it were. And so as people would come into the faith, they would be taught the scriptures. And so they would be taught the Old Testament. The New Testament didn't exist at the time, but they would be taught the oral traditions and the things that had been written about Jesus Christ and his birth and his death and his resurrection. And so he says, so we don't know if he was an unbeliever that Luke is writing to convert, but he says that you have been taught, that he is confirming. He wants him to know that the things that he has been taught are true and correct. And so he says, I'm writing these things. I'm being careful. I'm writing them in an orderly way. I want you to be able to trust in what you have been taught. So most likely he was a newer convert if he had been converted. Many suppose that he was Luke's benefactor. So at this time, it's very expensive to live. It's kind of the Castro Valley of the ancient world. They're traveling around. They needed funds and support to do that. And so it was common that they would have benefactors that would give them money to help them on their missionary journeys, much in the same way that we support missionaries today. We'll look more at him in just a few moments. We don't have a specific date. Paul didn't say, hey, or Luke didn't say, hey, I'm writing this in 63 AD. Of course, they hadn't changed the calendar yet. Luke never mentions, however, the sacking of Jerusalem. And we know that that happened in 70 AD. So I think that had that already occurred, he would have mentioned it, being the historian that he is. It's likely that the book of Luke and Acts were written sometime in the mid to early 60s. For instance, in Acts chapter 28, We have Paul in Rome preaching the gospel. So this is probably where, you know, the book of Acts leaves Paul there. And so it's, he was likely martyred in about 64 AD. So this is probably written just prior to that in the late 50s to early 60s. Some believe that Luke may have been the first of the Gospels written because of his opening remarks. Again, if you turn to Luke verse 1, now see if I read out of my Bible. I'm getting old. Some of you are like, oh no, you've been old for a long time. Inasmuch as many have undertaken to compile a narrative of the things that have been accomplished among us. So a lot of people have already attempted to do this. And so some commentary writers saw that as kind of a slight. You know, hey, they tried, I did it. Right? If you ever watched American Ninja or whatever that, you know, a lot of people tried. Here's the real thing. Most likely, today, most people believe he was probably the last of the gospel writers, with Mark being the first. There are many things that we'll talk about when it comes to the others here in a bit. We don't know where he wrote. We don't have a lot of information on it. A lot of places have been put forth. Maybe he wrote it while he was there in the jail with Paul. And so in the ancient times, it wasn't necessarily like it is today. In some it was, some areas it wasn't. But you could actually, if you were under house arrest or perhaps in the setting that Paul is in, you could actually have friends or relatives come and visit or stay. And why you would want to go and stay with your relative that's in jail, we do not know. But it wasn't necessarily uncommon. And so it very well could have been that Luke is sitting there writing down things that Paul is saying while he's in prison, about to be martyred. The why is answered in verse 4. That you may have certainty concerning the things that you have been taught. And so we talked about this a little bit earlier. Luke is writing Theophilus so that he may have certainty about what he was taught when he first entered the church. And so generally speaking, on Sunday morning, I teach out of the Word of God because I know this is accurate. I know this is true. We can talk about the canon of Scripture more. But in the early days, of course, a lot of it was in books and letters that were being circulated amongst the churches, but nobody had compiled them all and said, this is the New Testament. So they had the book of the Old Testament primarily. And then they had these other letters, and then they had oral tradition. And certainly Luke wrote early enough that he was actually able to go and talk and investigate and record conversations himself in the keeping of his book. And so one of the things when we look at the book of Luke, it is the longest of the Gospels. It's the most thorough of the Gospels. Again, Theophilus was a Gentile, so he'd been taught many things about Christ and his time on earth. Because much of it was through oral tradition, and you kind of know how it is, it's not exactly the same. Have you ever played the game called Telephone, where someone tells a story here, and then it goes here, and it goes here, and by the time it comes out the other end, it is nothing alike. And it's so funny because there was an individual at a church that I was at previous, And oftentimes I would get a phone call and they would say something about someone. And so then I knew something had happened. But then I would have to call or chase down what exactly happened, because it could have been that they stubbed their toe and I would get a call saying they had a stroke, right? Or that they had a cold and, you know, over here it's a heart attack. And so it was always reliable information in that something is going on. And then I would have to run that down and figure out what exactly that something is that was going on. So Luke says, I don't want you to have to do that. I did this work for you. I researched it and read it and studied it, and this is true and reliable. So he's undertaken to compile a narrative of the things that have been accomplished among us. So we have a collection of the four books of the Gospels. Three of them are known as the Synoptic Gospels, because much of the material is found in all three of them. So in the book of Mark, everything in the book of Mark is found in the books of Matthew and Luke. Matthew contains many things not in Mark and a few things not in Luke. And Luke contains many things not in Mark and some things also not in Matthew. And so it really is the Synoptic Gospels. You can sit down, and actually there have been books written. So where it's covering a certain subject, you can see it in all three different Gospels. And they don't all align perfectly because they're written by human beings from different perspectives with the leading of the Holy Spirit. So are they true? Yes. Are they accurate? Yes. But it's very much the same if we're standing outside and watching an event, and then someone asks us to write an account of that event, and we write down what we saw and experienced and witnessed. And in Luke's case, what he heard from eyewitnesses and people who were there. Now, it's funny because as I was studying this, some people were asking me questions. Well, what about these other Gospels? You know, there's the Gospel of Mary Magdalene and the Gospel of Barnabas and the Gospel of... So do those books exist? The answer is yes, they exist. Are they scripturally sound? The answer to that is no, they are not. Most of them were written actually hundreds of years later, and oftentimes some well after the canon. And so the canon of Scripture was established where they sat down and they said, okay, so we need to know, is our Bible true and accurate? And what should be included in it and what should not be included? And for a book to be included in the canon or in the Bible itself, the standard was quite high so that we could have confidence in every word that is written in the Bible. And so I am grateful for those who came before us, who set that standard as high as they did. Yes, the other books exist, and actually I've read them. Quite a boring read for most of it, but they are there. But can you hold them to the same standard of Scripture? And the answer is no. So if you hear about them or have questions about them, you're welcome to talk to me and we can give have more of a discussion. But for this reason, then, Luke wanted to write an account that he took time to investigate and write it in an orderly way so that Theophilus and others, including us, would have this certainty. Pardon me, on things that we have been taught. So how did he write it? So Luke 1:1-4, again, He says, inasmuch as many have undertaken to compile a narrative of the things that have been accomplished among us, just as those from who the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word have delivered, he tells us how he was not an eyewitness, but there were many. And Luke took the time to ask questions and to investigate, to hear their accounts and hear the accounts from different people and to write them. Of course, he's being led by and directed by the Holy Spirit. His writing parallels Matthew in much of what he writes. Luke, again, may have been the last writer, so he would have had the other gospel accounts to also draw from. So finally, there is this, and I'm actually ending a little bit early today. You need to take someone to lunch. The book of Luke was written almost 2,000 years ago. So Luke is both a physician and a historian who wanted to write a well-researched and orderly account of the life of Jesus and the beginning of the church. So as we go through the book of Luke, we need to remember that the gospel is more than just a book, right? We looked at the gospel is not a book. The gospel is this story that was handed down through the generations and through the prophets, a story that we were taught. It was a promise that was made by God to redeem his people for himself. We today are the church. And the gospel, as we know it, has been entrusted now to us. It is written in the Word of God, and it is written on our hearts, and it is our place to put that forth. So as we close today, I have to close with a few short announcements. First of all, there won't be youth group tonight. So we encourage you to spend that time with your mother, and we also want our staff to be able to do that as well. And also, ladies, as you leave today, there will be people that are handing out gifts, and of course, we honor you as ladies. Regardless of whether or not you've had children, it doesn't diminish your worth in any way. And so we're just pleased that you are here and sharing the gifts that God has given you with us. Please pray with me as we close the service today. Gracious Father, we thank you. We thank you for your love for us. We thank you that you cared so much about us, that you had a plan to redeem us, this gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, that a Messiah would be born. Father, we thank you for Mary and her faithfulness, her love for you, and her willingness to serve. Father, we thank you for what she poured into Jesus during his life. Father, we thank you so much for Jesus and his willingness to make his sacrifice, which was the only way that we could be reconciled. Father, as we look through the book of Luke, we pray that you would keep us attentive to your writing and your words, that your Holy Spirit would work on our hearts, that we see the true meaning of gospel in the writing of these books. Truly, you are an awesome God. Father, I pray a blessing on those with us today that have heard it, that you would love them and encourage them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.